So open your Bibles to the book of Revelation. Revelation is chapter 1. And we're going to start here around verse 5 and we'll work up here. So make sure you have a notepad ready and your highlighter and your pen. Get ready to take some notes. Okay, we can see that the Apostle John received the commission from our Father here concerning the times at hand. And of course, he mentions the same thing in the conclusion, okay, of his letter here, the times at hand. Again, this has to do with addressing the churches and preparing them. Yeah, the Lord is preparing the churches for a transition and also preparing them for a change, which has to do is he's addressing the present discrepancies that are within the kingdom of God, even though God's kingdom is perfect. Okay, in order for that perfection to remain, to get the proper results, we can see the Apostle Peter also mentioned that judgment begins at the house of God. And if it begin at us, what shall be done to them that are disobedient, okay, that are outside of his kingdom? Okay, they're going to face the wrath of God. Okay, but of course, the church has to face change. Okay, and the change comes about in through the stewardship. Okay, as the stewardship is receiving the understanding and the commission from God in order to address any of these discrepancies and to also to present themselves as an example to the church. As the Apostle Paul said, "Be you followers of me, even as I am also of Christ." So the Apostle Paul was establishing the stewardship within himself, which of course was confirmed by the chief elder Peter, James, and John. So we can see that through this establishment, that there was a particular pattern that emerged as a scale. And God put the scale and identifying that scale within the stewardship. This is why the Lord is approaching it in this manner. Okay, in order to remove the schism. Okay, God is approaching it in this manner, again, to remove the schism. That there be no schism in the body, but the members should have the same care one for another. Okay, as the Apostle Paul brings out in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, 12 and 13. Okay, bringing to the attention of the church the need for these gifts. Okay, the need for the administration, okay, and also need for this operation. Okay, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal, as Paul brings out. So the manifestation and these gifts are identified there, and chapter 12 there, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and regarding first apostles, secondary prophet, thirdly teachers. And then he goes on after that, the miracles. The miracles and, of course, the gifts of healing and the helps of the governments. Okay, these things are what God has provided for us in these marvelous, see, in this marvelous plan for this marvel of change that would take place within our own soul. So we can see that time is at hand is addressing these things. And he says in verse 4 here, we're in Revelation chapter 1, verse 4. John to the seven churches which are in Asia. Okay, now, of course, he's saying they're not in the tribulation yet. But change will be forthcoming, and the testing will be present following this this address here, which the Spirit of the Lord is giving to him. John to the seven churches which are in Asia. Of course, the first thing he presents here is concerning the power of God, this revelation. Grace be unto you and peace, because the peace of God will assist those that hear these things and believe these things for this transition and change. They will believe the report. Okay, what John has given to the church is the report. Okay, this report is Jesus Christ, as the prophet brings out. Who has believed our report? And to whom is the Lord, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Now, Jesus Christ is that report, and he is the arm. Okay, and the arm represents a stewardship. Okay, the arm represents a stewardship. This stewardship will emerge, but not from among the ranks of the false religious system. This stewardship will emerge from a different system, a different system, which is the system of our adoption. And that system of adoption is what we're following today. That when Jesus says that time is at hand, he was also saying the same thing which he wrote, which he spoke there in the Gospel of Matthew as an example. When he says repent, talks about repent there for the kingdom of God. For the kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God is here. Okay, it's invisible. Yea, but this invisible kingdom, yea, is the true kingdom of your origin. Is the true kingdom of your origin, okay, and not that which is of that which is of a temporary kingdom. And we'll be talking about that here in a second. So he talks about the word, he uses the word grace and peace, and we know that the word grace and peace has been properly defined, okay, through the government of God, okay, and that it was misdefined, okay, by Satan. Satan took the same knowledge, okay, but reassigned a different definition for it, okay, which definition rules over the minds of the ignorant, okay, those of the false religious system. Not understanding these elements, okay, we can't identify the progression of and his work within us. Okay, the witness of God works with this knowledge, and that witness of God is an anointing. Okay, so the anointing works with this knowledge, okay, and because we're understanding these things now in their proper definition, okay, we can measure our progress. Okay, we can measure our progress, and we can see the process, okay, of this adoption, okay, concerning the gifts, the operations, and the administrations. Okay, these things are given for your profit. Okay, the increase. Okay, it's given for the increase of your soul and fruit bearing. So John says, seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is, which was, and which is to come. Okay, Jesus Christ is concerning our true tether. Okay, our true tether which is now in the throne. Okay, which is, who is now in the throne. Okay, which was, because came in the form of the flesh and being prepared of the Father. He was initiated within this dimension in order to bring about this divine adoption. The Word of God was made flesh. That which the Father inscribed within himself, which has to do with his own soul, his own soul and the state of his conscience, was now manifest within this dimension for this adoption so that we can see the true likeness of God. Now Adam, lost his eyes, if you will. His eyes became dim-sighted, through the counsel of Satan. Okay, and his seed that followed him, God was invisible from that point on. Okay, being invisible, he was only going to be identified with knowledge. He was identified with knowledge. This is what Jesus says to Philip, in regarding this mystery. This mystery, his concealment, though it was invisible, it's seen visibly. It's seen visibly by this knowledge. And this apostles asked him that. He says, could you please address that again? How is it that we're going to see you, but the world isn't going to see you? And you're going to go away. As you said, you're going to go away. So how is this going to be possible? And of course, Jesus mentioned to him concerning the Comforter. My presence will be seen in the knowledge that you express. And the Comforter, the Comforter, the power, which is also called the truth, his truth, will be manifested. It will be manifested. This is me. I'm just in another form. I'm in another form. I was inscribed. I am the inscription. I am the inscription of my Father's heart, called the Word. And that which the Father inscribed within himself is the volume of this book, which you're affirming. I am the volume of the book. It is written in me to do thy will, O God. I am the living word. And it's by this knowledge that you shall live. I originated within my Father's heart, because I am my Father. I and my Father are one. Originated in my Father's heart and regarding this plan, that I would come within another dimension in order to provide myself as a source of adoption, as I promised you in my Father's heart. When you're on the underside of the veil, that on the other side of the veil is where your true treasures lie. This is what I promised, this is what I informed you of. And this is now taking place within this dimension of the waters, being in a vessel of flesh. And so he goes on here, which is, which was, and which is to come. I am on my Father's throne now. That's what Jesus is saying. I was within your presence of the flesh when I walked among you. But by this presence, you will not know me any longer. You will only know me by this adoption, the adoption of this knowledge. By the adoption of this knowledge, you shall be saved. Okay, this gospel is what bears my power. This is what the Apostle Paul brings out. Okay, for the gospel of God, which he believed, he called it the power of God. Okay, it is the power of God, he says. Okay, when he says it is the power of God, he wasn't talking about ink on paper. When he talked about the power of God, he's talking about the knowledge working with this anointing, grace and truth. Okay, grace and truth. So by grace and truth. The law was given by Moses, the law, which is ink on paper. Okay, was provided with earthly tokens. But our Lord Jesus Christ came, okay, in the fullness of our Father. And that's what Jesus talked about. Of a fullness have all we received, John said, grace upon grace. Of his fullness have all received, grace upon grace. Okay, so that which was in part was now done away because it pointed to that which is our fullness. Okay, which is, which was, and which is to come. Okay, so we can see the progression within this knowledge. Okay, and God assigned this progression in portions, which he put it within a plan. Okay, called the first eighth week, the sixth week, the second eighth week, the seventh week, the ninth week, tenth week. Okay, he put this in portions of a plan. Okay, in order to forewarn, or to inform, okay, previous generations that would follow, and to those which would even follow after us. Okay, those which will accept this knowledge upon our departure, okay, whether it be the rapture, let's just put that in the rapture there, okay, upon our departure, the rapture, we'll read the same language, the same knowledge which you're receiving right now, okay, and of course Enoch and Elijah will be bringing this same knowledge to the 144,000 upon our departure, okay, establishing them as a government, okay, through their stewardship, okay, and that through the government of their stewardship, okay, they also will receive this adoption, the knowledge which the fire works with, okay, by which we are adopted and transformed into, okay, so that we can enter into that eternal glory. So, and from Jesus Christ, who is a faithful witness, I jumped up to verse 5 here, from Jesus Christ, who is a faithful witness. I like the word faithful witness there, because we're talking about that which is living, that which is constant, consistent, living, present power. Okay, we have this engrafted within us. Okay, we have this engrafted within us. Okay, which those who do not have the eyes of His grace to see, they will of course protest against. Okay, because they're putting the false religious system. Okay, is putting the witness within a record of their own religious system. Okay, which has to do with they're looking for the open sign. Okay, they're looking for the open sign for this adoption, which has to do with water baptism, physical communion, observing the Sabbath day, evangelism, church construction, okay, you know, building buildings, okay, everything is put within the parameters of their own record, the religious record. That means they're using those things as a witness, but that witness which you're using is a witness of man. Okay, it's the witness of man. I mean, it's only given credibility to their own signature, to their own voice. Okay, but we work with the witness of God. Okay, and that's why he's called the faithful witness. We're working with that which is consistent with our Father in heaven. Okay, it's ever present with us. It's consistent. Okay, it's faithful. It's consistent, and it's a witness, which means it's a living, present power. Okay, the anointing which is upon you, which he breathed within you, okay, is that witness of our approval, okay, that we have been accepted of him by this knowledge, and that you're progressing, okay, through these through your cycles of growth, you are progressing, and that's what you see in the picture there. Okay, if you go to the picture, which is in your sacrifice page there, okay, you will see that there's a, if you click on it, it will be enlarged, and you should be able to read some of the things which I put in when there, which has to do, okay, which he's doing within you. Okay, so we can see these three stages. Okay, we go through these three stages. Okay, the three stages of the conscience, which has to do with that which is informative. Okay, and that which is informative is also set for our approval, which is in the will. Okay, and that which is initiated. Okay, these powers are our servants. Okay, these powers are our servants, and this is what the Apostle Paul brings out in Hebrews. In the book of Hebrews, are they not all ministering spirits, and forth the minister for them who shall be the heirs of salvation. Now these powers, Okay, we have powers that are assisting us through our motor activity in our flesh. Okay, these powers are present for the purpose of sustaining the heartbeat, working with your digestive system, the functions of your body. There's powers, the seven powers of your soul, which works with the functions of this body. Okay, that's not the ministering spirits he's talking about. But what I'm pointing out to you is that these powers, which sustain your flesh, okay, are your servants. They're serving you. Okay, now let's take that over to the spirit world. Okay, regarding the kingdom of God. Okay, God also has powers called angels, and these angels are his servants, and these powers are serving him. Okay, these powers are serving him. Okay, not sustaining our faith. Okay, these are the powers of God that sustains our faith for this adoption. Now we see this in Hebrews 1:14, as concerning these ministering spirits. Okay, these have been sent forth for this adoption. Okay, these have been sent forth for our adoption. They're preparing us. This is what he's bringing out here in Revelation. Okay, and from Jesus Christ. Okay, and from Jesus Christ, verse 5. Okay, he's the eternal mediator. He's the divine priest and king. Okay, who is consistent. He's constant. He's consistent. He's that living, present power of God for us. Okay, as our prototype. Okay, now reason why he's a prototype, because this is he is the token which we're reflecting. Okay, he's the token which we're reflecting. He is the propitiation for our sins. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Okay, as the Apostle John writes to those under his stewardship. Now, being our advocate, okay, he is sitting in the throne of our conscience. Okay, and he is a judge of the gate. Okay, he is the judge of our gate. Okay, the judge of the gate discerns all the information for the approval of the will. Okay, the information that you're receiving, he's approving of, because it's accompanied. How we know that? Because it's accompanied by the anointing. Okay, his presence is making this living within you. Okay, and it will be expressed. This is the salted with fire, which Jesus brings out. Every sacrifice should be salted with fire. Okay, and every sacrifice should be salted with salt. Okay, this is the true salt. Okay, not that which is sprinkled upon the carcass of an animal, okay, but that which is now accompanying this knowledge. Okay, and it takes this knowledge and makes it living, and is expressed through your charity. Now, through this form of expression, you are saved. So if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, if you believe in your heart the Lord Jesus and confess with your mouth, okay, you shall be saved. You believe in your heart, you confess with your mouth to be saved. Now, of course, that confession is your charity. Okay, your charity, and that charity is prophesying of Christ. Okay, it's prophesying of Christ. That's what he says here in Corinthians. Okay, if you believe in your heart the Lord Jesus, what are we confessing? We're confessing Lord Jesus. What are we prophesying? We're prophesying of his testimony. Well, what is his testimony? His testimony is our love, his love towards us. His love towards us. This is what the Apostle John, the same language the Apostle John uses. Okay, because love casts out fear, because fear has torment. Okay, love casts out fear, which means that it removes the restraint of our logic. Okay, and it takes us on our journey beyond the veil of that logic. The veil of our logic is the flesh. Okay, but the anointing takes us beyond the veil of that logic and brings us into the presence of our Father, into the throne. Okay, it brings us in the presence of the Father. Okay, and it's through this form of communion. This is a true communion, which Paul calls the communion of the Holy Ghost. Okay, this is the true communion which is that first covenant pointed towards. Okay, that which we dine on. Okay, that which they dine on, the priesthood dine on, okay, what had to do with the flesh of the burnt offering. The flesh of the burnt offering, they put a flesh hook within it of three prongs, which has to do with the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Okay, and that which would point to the power of the anointing. Okay, so that which the priest dined on was for the purpose of sustaining his motor activity. Okay, and attending the altar. Okay, but that which we're sticking our prongs in has to do with this knowledge. Okay, which the anointing is attended, so that we also have the motor activity. Okay, of the spirit of our faith, the motor activity of our faith. We're walking. Okay, the just walk by faith. The just live by faith. So our motor activity is by The anointing, which is sustaining us in our activity to the altar, which we're dining on, the communion of the Holy Ghost. From Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, being consistent and ever consistent, present, living power for us as our prototype, first establishing himself by separating us from the, by separating us from these waters. Okay, he separated us from these waters, okay, providing himself as that token, a prototype. So that's what he says here. From Jesus Christ, who is a faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead. Now, we know that many people were raised from the dead. Okay, but only Jesus was raised from the dead as our prototype. Okay, many people were raised from the dead. We can see that Lazarus was resurrected. He was raised from the dead by the power of Jesus. Okay, and that's why Jesus says, I am the resurrection and life. Okay, I am your prototype. And Lazarus here is evidence of that. Okay, I am the life sustainer of all creation. And Lazarus is standing before you, okay, is proof of this. Okay, and Jesus was emphasizing that to the point where the Pharisees, or the Sadducees particularly, who did not believe in a resurrection, the Sadducees says, if this guy continues to preach this kinds of gospel, okay, it's going to really cast a shadow of rejection over us. Okay, of course, that shadow of rejection, okay, was already on them. Okay, God did not accept them. He did not accept the knowledge of their commentaries, okay, as equal to his word. Okay, and the false religious system today, okay, exalts and worships the commentary, okay, but not the word. The word Jesus meaning Jesus himself. Okay, but the writings of other men, okay, the writings of other men have been approved of that particular system, and everything that bears that likeness is approved of that system, and they have also the system of their adoption, okay, is put within their approval, okay, so they have, okay, their own particular doctors, okay, doctors, okay, that are trying to maintain the purity of those commentaries which were written by those particular men or particular individuals, okay, for the last 100 years. Okay, and that's what's blinding them. That's blockage in the conscience. Okay, and as long as they keep justifying the blockage of that conscience, it's going to sear their conscience. It's going to sear it, which means that it blocks the light. It blocks the light of this knowledge. Okay, because you need the light of this knowledge in order to reciprocate your faith. Okay, this grace, faith, in this form of reciprocation of charity. From Jesus Christ, who is a faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead. Okay, having now separated us from these waters by this adoption. Okay, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Isn't that interesting? So you can see the word first begotten of the dead. He talks about something dead and something that's living. For the first begotten of the dead is our prototype, okay, being the record of our faith. Okay, and this is a record which we preach, and this is the record which Jesus provided for us in himself, which Peter also confirmed. Okay, that one must accept this record, okay, in order to be a witness with us. Okay, and this is the record which we believe, which also we are a witness, as Chief Elder Peter brought out, okay, in the first eighth week. So the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, which this is our adoption now. He immediately jumps from the dead to that of our adoption. The prince of the kings of the earth, we are those kings, unto him that loved us. Okay, so hide the word love there. This is what the Apostle Paul brings out. Okay, blessed be the God and Father of Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in Christ. Okay, the spiritual blessings has to do with all the tokens for our redemption. Okay, all of the tokens of our redemption are put within his propitiation, okay, that which our Father has provided for us in him as our advocate. Okay, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is a propitiation for our sins, and not for his only, but also for the sins of the whole world. That means for the adoption of all those that reciprocate his grace. Okay, for the forgiveness of sins. Okay, and so we'll read verse 5 again. Okay, from Jesus Christ, who is a faithful witness. So you can get some, you can scribble down some notes right here. So hide the word faithful witness. Okay, as you're scribbling down your notes for your sacrifices. Jesus Christ being your mediator is our faithful witness. The first begotten of the dead, which is establishing a record within himself. Okay, the record had to do with that which he professed on the cross. Okay, Father, into thy hand I commend my spirit. Okay, the flesh cries out for relief. Okay, but that which was atoned for, he shed his blood for the purpose of this atonement. Okay, he was received of his Father. Okay, he's received his Father, and having been received of his Father, because he committed his spirit into the Father's hands, which shows that he was a spotless lamb, that Jesus at the last moment did not become demonized, which has been preached. Okay, that's been preached by the false religious system, that Jesus at the last moment became demonized. Okay, but yet there is no darkness in the Father's bosom. So when Jesus committed his soul unto his Father, okay, he wasn't darkness. And he was perfect light, because he was never darkness. He was a spotless lamb. And he was God. He was God Himself in the flesh. Okay, and when he came into this dimension, he didn't come into this dimension to confirm Satan. Okay, but rather to remove that influence, not to become that influence, the evil influence, but to remove the influence. So that being the spotless lamb. So he became sin for us, which means to remove the offense. Okay, he removed the offense and the sacrifice of his flesh. So that having risen physically from the dead and having physically ascended to the Father, okay, he is now that living witness which is in the throne. He's that living witness which is in the throne. Okay, and being our living witness, he is the prototype of our adoption. Okay, he has provided for us the Comforter, the Spirit of Truth. Okay, that Spirit of Truth, the Spirit of Truth, Satan cannot enter into. And that's what Jesus says when he's talking to Peter. Okay, I'm going to give you to these keys. Now, when I give you these keys, the powers of hell cannot prevail against you. Okay, he was talking to the stewardship. He was not talking about the Bible. He's talking about the stewardship. Okay, the stewardship Satan shall not prevail against. Okay, the gates of hell shall not prevail against you, Peter, because you're going to build this foundation as a stone. You're going to build that foundation of the hearts of the people. And this is a prototype of the holy city, okay, from which even our father Abraham looked to, for he looked for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. So Abraham looked at the foundations as concerning the living testimony. Okay, the living testimony, not that which is of the earthly, but that of the heavenly. Because Abraham knew that that which is of the earthly would change hands of the wicked. Okay, the hands of the wicked, it would change back and forth because of the aspiration of man. Okay, and we can see that the city of Jerusalem itself has fallen in disrepair after the angel of the Lord departed. The angel of the Lord departed. Okay, when the veil of the temple was rent from the top to the bottom, the angel of the Lord departed and now is standing in this witness. Before the angel of the Lord stood within the witness of Moses, okay, in the earthly things. Okay, but now the veil of the temple was rent from the top to the bottom, and now the witness has been removed to Moses and to Christ himself. Okay, in the city of Jerusalem, he is no longer the praise of all the earth. The city of Jerusalem is a place of darkness. It's a habitation of wickedness, okay, the habitation of devils. Okay, and it's also called spiritually Sodom, okay, and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. Okay, those that honor the law honor the earthly Jerusalem. Those that honor Christ, okay, honor the heavenly Jerusalem. Okay, and we honoring the heavenly Jerusalem stand as the children of Abraham, because Abraham's eyes were looking for things above, and our eyes are looking unto things above. Okay, and that's what Paul said. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things who are above. Christ sits at the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things in the earth. Right, let's go on here. Unto him that loved us, I had the word loved there in verse 5. The word love has to do with everything that he provided within himself is for the expression of this charity. So he's blessed us with all spiritual blessings for this adoption of regeneration. Okay, and this adoption of regeneration is to remove all the tokens of the flesh. Okay, those tokens of the flesh which we embraced, okay, for the purpose of the sign of our own signature. So unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Okay, unto him that loved us. Hide the word love there. Okay, that's blessed with all spiritual blessings. He loved us and washed us. This is the spiritual blessings for regeneration. Not for evangelism, but for regeneration. Now, God did call evangelists. Okay, an evangelist has to do with those, the Spirit works with them in order to bring this knowledge to those which are in darkness. Okay, they go on the outside. Now, that's what Methuselah did. Okay, Methuselah came down from the mountain. Okay, the mountain of paradise. He came down from the mountain of paradise, but we use a sign to do that by God. Now, those which departed from the mountain of paradise, apart from God's sanctification, okay, they were not allowed back up. Okay, they also perished in the flood. Okay, they were the righteous which perished in the flood. Now, the reason why they were called righteous is because Methuselah carried the knowledge, okay, of Enoch, okay, down to them, and he preached throughout that time. Now, Methuselah lived pretty close to 1,000 years. Okay, he lived for a long time, and he took that knowledge first to the children of Seth. Okay, he first to the children of Seth he went to when he came down from the mount. Okay, but also the children of Cain heard the same tidings. The children of Cain heard the same tidings. Okay, that God was going to destroy the world with a delusion, okay, or a flood, a deluge, okay, of a flood, okay, which came in the days of Noah. And of course, Methuselah was warning them, okay, that a change would come upon this earth, a change which would be in this dimension, okay, a deluge of water would come, but only a few would be saved. Okay, and that, of course, was the house of Noah. Okay, Noah, which is the son of Lamech, which is the son of also Methuselah, which is the son of Enoch. Okay, Enoch, of course, was a great grandfather of Noah. Okay, so well, let's go on here. So he this says here, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. See, how could Jesus wash us if he himself was Satan? Okay, so the substitutionism, okay, say that there's a divine exchange for the purpose of Jesus losing his divinity so that we can gain it. Okay, now that's Satan's gospel. Okay, that's the gospel, the false gospel, which Paul brings out. Okay, the ministers of Satan, the ministers of unrighteousness, are preaching Satan's substitutionism. Okay, but we preach propitiation. Okay, which shows that the divine change has to do with that which he's initiated for us with these gifts. Okay, he initiated these things for us for gifts. So those which are embraced propitiation, okay, are walking according to Christ. But those that embrace substitutionism, okay, are still walking according to the moral code. Okay, they're professing Jesus with their lips, but yet they're walking according to the moral code. Okay, which means the anointing is absent of their profession, is absent of their charity. Okay, they're still walking in darkness. Okay, so unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. So you got the word loved and washed. And that's the same language the Apostle Paul uses, because he also read this testimony of John, who Paul said the same thing, who has washed us and sanctified us. Okay, he's adopted us. He's washed us and sanctified us. Now you're washed. Now you're sanctified. Now you're justified, Paul said in Corinthians. Okay, by what? By the Spirit. Okay, by the Spirit of our God. As he talked about, by the Spirit of our God. Okay, for this adoption, he has washed us. Okay, so he's immediately pointing to regeneration, isn't he? He's not immediately pointing to evangelism. Okay, he's pointing or to singing hymnals. Okay, or he's not pointing to ingesting the bread and wine. He's not pointing to that of Moses. He's pointing to that of Christ. Now you're washed. Okay, you're not washed as Aaron's priesthood. You're washed as Jesus' priesthood. Okay, and being washed by the water of the Word. Okay, this knowledge that you're receiving, okay, is the Spirit is working with us and accompanying a divine change within you. The divine power for the divine change. Okay, the divine power. As Peter brings out, Peter said the same thing, for the divine nature, the divine change that takes place. Okay, and to him that loved us and washed us from our sins. Now these are all the tokens. He's removing the tokens of the flesh, okay, which Satan provided for us. The tokens of flesh, okay, were assigned by Satan. Okay, he has loved us and washed us from these things. Okay, for the blessing of regeneration, removing the tokens of the flesh, we embraced for the sign of our signature. So the tokens of the flesh were the sign of the signature, but the tokens of Christ, okay, is a sign of his signature, is the sign of his record. Okay, so we see the sign of man's record and the sign of God's record. The sign of man's record is in the tokens of flesh, which is the system of this world. Okay, the system of the world honors those that affirm those things and bear this likeness. Okay, but God honors that which is the sign of his record, the sign of his son. Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. So I had the word blood there. Okay, the word blood there again has to do with the tokens of flesh we embrace, but he's adopted us now through this sacrifice by destroying the power of Satan in the flesh by the sacrifice of his own self. Okay, so the sacrificing of the blood, it shows the violence, okay, the violence of this adoption. Okay, there's change. Now, when you go through change, there's suffering. Okay, so we see that suffering and grace work together. Okay, for the violence of this change was put within that sacrifice. Okay, the violence of change. Okay, that which is the sinners are comfortable with, they have to change. Now, either they change to the violence of the covenant, or they change the violence of God's wrath. Okay, blood for blood. Okay, so he's washing from our sins, okay, for this adoption in his own blood. The violence of change. Now that has to do with the power. The power. So we feel the violence of this change within us. So the violent take it by force, as Jesus talks about. And the violent take it by force. Okay, there are those that are trying to bring change to the moral code. And there are those that change takes place, okay, through the record of Jesus Christ. Okay, this is the record of our faith. Jesus Christ is the record of our faith. He is the record of our profession. Okay, he's the high priest of our profession. We bear his likeness through his profession, okay, which is our charity. And this is what he talks about. He has made us kings and priests. See that verse 6? So hide the word kings and priests by this covenant. Okay, because he just says right here, he's washed us from our sins in his own blood and has made us by this washing. He's made us kings and priests. We rule over sin by the power of Christ. Okay, we rule over sin by the power of Christ. But this adoption also puts us in a position, okay, of reigning with him. Okay, reigning with him. And this is what Jesus brings out. And we see this in the book of Revelation. He still uses the same language. Okay, in the beginning of the chapter of Revelation, he says the same thing at the conclusion of his letter. Okay, the time is at hand for this transition to take place. The transition is taking place for this adoption, okay, and also preparing us for this divine inheritance, entering into the Father's bosom. Now we can see this in the diagram which I provided for you, okay, because we're talking about that this is the state of the conscience, okay, the state of the conscience being which I inscribed here has to do with the judge of the gate, okay, the judge of the gate. The pure conscience, the pure conscience takes place for this transaction. Okay, the open conscience, okay, is only the preparatory stage, okay, for acceptance. That means for the choice of will. Okay, but when the choice of will is made, okay, towards seeking God, God issues us grace. Okay, the enlightenment. God issues us grace for the adoption, so that the conscience, now having been open, now remains pure. Purified. So the open conscience remaining purified provides us clear access. We have open eyes. Okay, open eyes for an enlarged heart. Okay, we all now with open face behold the Lord. Okay, we all now with open face behold the Lord. So the conscience being open now is sustained now in purity. Okay, through your engagement with the terms of this covenant. So now our identity is Christ. Okay, our identity is Christ. We have approved of him, so our identity is a Christ. When we approve the things of the world, the conscience remained closed. Okay, when conscience remained closed, okay, darkness prevailed in the soul. When the conscience is open, okay, the light gained entrance into the soul. Okay, the light gained entrance. So now, when we were in the kingdom of darkness, okay, God opened our conscience in order for our guilt to be pressed upon the mind. Okay, and when guilt is pressed upon the mind, okay, upon the closure of the conscience, our choice must be made, okay, of whom we're going to serve. Okay, we serve by that experience, and we live by the experience now. Okay, we serve God by that experience which we first experienced there. Okay, when we are illuminated, and this is what Paul brings out. Paul brings out, okay, the pattern of our experience concerning this illumination. Now we see this in Hebrews chapter 6. Okay, after that you've been illuminated. Okay, we're also sealed. Okay, so we to sealed has hearing the word of God. Okay, receiving the good word of God and the powers of the world to come. So we can see the eternal sustaining of that witness within us. Okay, in this experience, which you're experiencing right now, okay, and the powers of Christ are attending upon these things. Okay, so something is being initiated. What's going to be initiated? Your charity. Okay, a servant to your salvation. Okay, his servants shall serve him. Okay, and he served by our love. Okay, and by these things we are being joined to him as being one spirit. Okay, and being joined to him by one spirit, we are growing within him. Okay, you see the word roots there in that diagram, the roots. Okay, having been rooted and grounded within him. Okay, these are the sources. Okay, all these fruits are our sources now. And these fruits which God is nurturing within us, okay, as also, okay, are okay, the token of our acceptance of him to be received back into our Father's bosom. Okay, so we're going from this dimension to the other dimension by the knowledge which we have received. Okay, this is the journey of the righteous. Okay, and you are following the prophetic path of the righteous. Okay, when following the prophetic path of the righteous, you are reciprocating, okay, these things which is redounding to the glory of God.
All those which are listening today, if you like to come in covenant with God, okay, if you you have to begin to seek God, you're going to have to also put aside the barriers of your former traditions and your mindset, and you're going to have to seek him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, okay, if you want to come in covenant with God. Okay, well, thank you for listening today, and continue to seek the Lord. His grace will abound towards those that seek him out of a pure heart. And this is Apostle Eric von Ersick here speaking. Have a good day in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Be with you all. Amen.